quick movement while at the same time generating a sufficient amount of force. Training for power helps to develop fast twitch muscle fibers, along with improvements in the nervous system. This allows the body to perform rapid, explosive movements when you need a burst of power. To develop power requires heavy weight, high sets, and a low number of reps. A good example being 4 or 5 sets of 3 reps, or even 7 to 8 sets with 1 or 2 reps. Resting between sets. This will vary depending on your goals. No matter if you wish to be stronger, more muscular, or if you wish for an increase in stamina, you can only pursue one goal at once. Focus on your goal to decide. Strength training. If you are training for strength, then 3 to 5 minutes rest between sets is recommended. This allows the body to recharge the ATP-PC system. This is the ability of the oxidative system to use fats, carbohydrates, and protein as fuel. This then allows you to lift more weight, and you can get stronger in a shorter period of time. Hypertrophic training. If you wish to get bigger quicker, you will rest for 1 to 2 minutes between sets. These shorter rest periods create an increase in blood flow and lactate production to your targeted muscles. Stamina or endurance training. If you are training for stamina, you would only rest for 45 seconds to 2 minutes between sets. This helps the muscles to be resilient against fatigue as your body is able to clear lactic acid more efficiently. Breathing. It might sound simple enough, yet the idea of breathing isn't just about how you inhale and exhale during an exercise. When you breathe properly, it can aid in increasing abdominal power to help improve recovery time between your exercise sets. The correct way to breathe is inhaling while you are performing the eccentric part of the exercise, and then exhaling during the concentric part of the exercise. Stability is improved when you breathe appropriately, because it is what you would know as bracing. This extra stability while bracing the abdominal muscles helps to burn more calories and move more weight. Breathing is also essential for relaxing and recovering. If you are breathing hard, you'll notice you are chest breathing. If you breathe from the abdominals rather than the chest, you can take much deeper breaths, which will aid in recovery. Stretching. Stretching is not just important in your warm-ups. It can also help to increase strength, speed, and muscle growth. It can also aid in a quicker recovery time. To aid in muscle growth by stretching, you should perform these stretches during training rather than before or after. When performing stretches during training, they should be done on the muscles you have just worked and for periods of not less than 60 seconds. With intense stretching, you should be at the point of where it begins to hurt. And as a guide, your body will quickly let you know when you have gone too far. When you reach this hurting point and have held it for 60 seconds, be careful to release your muscles very gradually. This prevents injury. Hypertrophy, increased skeletal muscle, can be increased with the use of exercise stretching mostly because it releases growth factors in the muscles. And these being hepatocyte growth factor, myogenin, and IGF-1. It might be annoying or time-consuming at the time, yet it does work wonders. Chapter 7, Isometrics, the Secret Key to Super Strength. If there were any real secrets in the world of super strength, this is definitely the be-all and end-all. When done properly, using isometrics gets you past any plateau which can be the difference between ongoing success or failure. A highly underestimated tool, it's no wonder it is one of the most negated forms of strength training. But those that know this powerful secret hold the wisdom to unlock true superhuman potential or powers. Remaining focused is the most important aspect of any exercise system, and whether it's muscle control, lifting weights, rep training, or even going for extended periods of time in one exercise form, the difference remains the same. Yes, isometrics really takes on an exceptionally new level of focus and a much-needed perfected concentration level that is accurate and on point. It doesn't matter if you hold a position for 12 seconds or 12 hours. The focus is still required. It takes monumental focus and concentration, and not just within the physical body, but also internally as a focal point of belief. The real secret with isometrics is not how long you can hold any posture, position, or contraction. The real power is in how much internal power you can attain and hold for the period of integration. This is the secret. One of the world's, quite possibly the greatest renowned wrestlers, the great Gama, was a testament to the sport as an incredible athlete. In fact, Gama was well known for his unbelievably brutal workout training, ranging from swimming right through to wrestling. He even did some exercises for hours on end. Additionally, the massive amounts of repetitions he achieved for both push-ups and squats were phenomenal. On a global scale, he was famous for never losing a match in his entire career, which was 5,000 matches in total, an unbelievable human being. Gama was fierce with both his renowned takedown and throwing techniques, and he could toss his opponents without any real effort, or so it seemed. Part of his training entailed tying a belt or strap around a tree. He would then try with every ounce of his strength and internal focus to take down that tree. Gama also incorporated other forms of isometrics too, and his opponents were not really excited about facing him in the wrestling ring, for understandable reasons. He was fierce and all-powerful. We will touch on him some more soon, a little later in the title. It's important to understand that the major practice of isometrics is best done by working them into your own training regimen or just doing them as they were intended. This is because great practice methods that historically work have already been researched and trialed well, so we know that they can create the success we seek. If you can stay open-minded, you'll find yourself in a wonderful new world of strength training, one that's more successful, healthier, and much more efficient to your body's needs, as opposed to the weight machines, cardio machines, and the vast array of dumbbells you see being utilized these days. So yes, we can find a unique methodology of real strength training and great, purposeful ability from some of the greats, the ones who did it for real, historically. We'll take a look at them soon, so stay tuned for that. Prior to weightlifting equipment and the ushering in of up-to-date gyms, individuals who sought to increase size and strength used to push against stationary objects. A straightforward way to see this is by locking your hands together and pushing back against yourself with as much force as possible. To simplify the fact, muscles only contract in specific ways. One of the most obvious ways is when contracting and shortening the muscle lengths when doing bicep curls. The technical term for this is concentric contraction, and this is where muscles tense while they contract or shorten in length. Muscles are also able to tense while they lower loads or resist against them. This would occur when dropping the arm back to the starting position in a bicep curl. This contraction type is termed eccentric or eccentric, and this arises as the muscle becomes tense as it lengthens. Another muscle contraction known as isometric contraction, which occurs when the muscles tense without any change in their length. Prime examples are when bodybuilding posing or when pushing against objects which are immovable, such as walls. Isometric training possesses the main benefits where the body can activate almost all of the available motor units to some degree. This is typically extremely hard to accomplish. Way back during the 1950s, scientists Hettinger and Muller established a single daily effort of around two-thirds of a person's possible maximum. When exerted for a period of only 6 seconds at a time and performed over a 10-week period, strength increased by around 5% each week. Clark and associates established that static strength carried on increasing even after a 5-week regimen of isometric exercises had concluded. Additional benefits of isometric training are purely the total time spent performing any given exercise. When considering exercises like bench presses, it might take 1 or 2 seconds to perform the action for each joint angle. Each muscle only needs training for reduced periods of time. On the contrary, exercises which mimic bench presses, such as a press against pins at the locking position of a lift, Well, these might need to be performed for more than a few seconds. What this means is, if you find you have problems at specific joint angles during your lift, you can use targeted isometrics, which helps to alleviate your problems right then and there. Typically, as soon as we raise weights, our muscles absorb type 2 fiber. It is once we start approaching our maximum effort of 100% that the body forces itself to engage its fast twitch muscle fibers. If this were not to happen, these would then become neglected. When training in this nature, we see results in increased strength as micro-tears are created in the most powerful cells in the muscles and which increase as they heal. Amazing. To fully use 100% effort, we have only two techniques in which we can use. Either we can lift 100% of our one rep maximum capacity, or we can lift around 85% of maximum capacity, but with increased speed and explosiveness. This varies to our regular exercises with the lifting of heavy weights and employing bursts of explosive speed. This requires the body to generate additional force. It is this occurrence that helps our muscle strength increase. Holding weights in position until we feel a complete fatigue is an alternative way of movement, and this utilizes the fast twitch muscle fibers of the body as it does when you push or pull against an object which you are unable to move. When merely pushing or pulling against an object which you are unable to move, ultimately your body starts adapting to be in the condition to move this object over time. Additionally, this also goes a long way to create stronger neural drives between the brain and muscles. And as it happens, when you command your body to use all of its muscle, you then also increase the ability to engage muscle fiber at will. Feedback is also forthright as you start feeling that your muscles are working. As fast twitch muscle fibers are the most significant type, these are the best to increase hypertrophy and show a visible increase in muscle size. How strong can we really get? At the beginning of the 20th century, the world started to see the introduction of a previously unseen kind of public hero, professional strongmen. These strongmen arose from physical culture movements, which were built during the 1800s as a response to what we now know as the Industrial Revolution. With the explosion of office working, there was an increasing concern in what way this new desk-bound lifestyle was affecting overall health and manliness for the men of the nation. Strongmen became symbols of preserved virility and living proof the male citizens still possessed the grit, power, and the strength of their ancestors, with the potential for performing macho or masculine activities. If men were no longer able to tame the wild frontier and face the challenges of nature, they, in turn, could become masters of themselves and then pit their resoluteness against the weights and feats of the strength of a gymnasium. And so, strong men arrived from all corners of the world and diverse cultural backgrounds, too. Some materialized from the ranks of professional and amateur athletes. They were previously boxers, wrestlers, or participants in the Olympics and the lesser-known Highland Games. Some previously served as physical training instructors in the military forces, while others had merely been in laborious jobs like those of blacksmiths or factory laborer positions. Here, they saw the chance to make a decent living by using their brawn in a less tedious and grueling way. Strong men found no shortage of where to ply their trade, even displaying feats of strength and prowess in floor show acts, which were performed in music halls and the many dime store museums. The lifting of these heavy weights as an end was, in fact, an unusual enough concept, and so it grabbed the attention of and captivated the public audiences. They were willing to pay to watch powerfully built men hoist dumbbells, barbells, and other peculiarly formed objects. Strong men broadened their acts while incorporating stunts. The barehanded breaking of chains, tearing decks of cards in half, and bending iron bars and horseshoes. This was the lead-up to pulling large items by only their teeth and also engrossing the crowds with mock gladiatorial tournaments. Many deceptions were performed in these shows, with entertainers using trickery and deception to pull off their perceptible deeds of strength. Nonetheless, there were genuine strength participants on the show circuits who did insist that it was to be manpower alone when performing their lifts and stunts. These strongmen turned out to be not only the promoters of engaging sideshows, but they also aided to evolve an awareness of physical cultures and overall fitness to a broader public audience. Naturally, regular men wanted to know how they too could build similar physiques, especially after seeing these strongmen perform. A number of these strongmen went on to create numerous books and mail order courses. These courses laid out the suggested strength-building programs. They remained immensely available in the first half of the 20th century. Such was the impact. They helped to launch a fitness awareness culture, which still remains as a part of our history even today. Some of the acts that strongmen performed involved many classic lifts and exercises. A number of these are still recognized today, although much of what is considered good form has been improved over time, like the squat, jerking clean, and more. Some other exercises were truly unique and have now mostly been forgotten since the zenith of these old-time strongmen. If the effects of isometric training still don't have you convinced, then ponder over the thought for a moment. It is the foundation of some of the world's strongest people ever born. They realized their abilities and capabilities by utilizing isometrics. How strong can we really become? Well, when talking about some of the legendary strongmen feats, you can quickly get the idea of how authentically amazing our bodies are and what they really can achieve. A great hero of our time, Alexander Zass, the Iron Samson, 1888-1962. Alexander Zass was born in Vilna, Poland. However, he spent his younger years living in Russia. Like countless other strongmen of his period, Zass was driven to increase his strength after attending a circus and seeing the exploits performed by the circus strongman there. Zass began with the bending of green branches, climbing trees, and running with his homemade dumbbells and barbells. It was later that he trained beneath some of the most famous professional Russian strongmen. Zass developed incredible strength, which allowed him to transport a horse on his shoulders. His most momentous talents were the bending of steel bars and the breaking of chains, which became the centerpiece of his exhibitions. Here's an interesting fact. In 1914, while he served in the Russian army at some stage in the First World War, Zass became wounded and was taken prisoner by Austrian forces. As a prisoner of war, he persistently developed his strength by using isometrics. He did this by pulling on the bars and chains. Zass ultimately escaped from his prison and never returned to his homeland. Out of all the strongmen, he is without a doubt my favorite. There are a few old black and white videos of him performing some of his crazy feats. I aimed first to develop the underlying connective tissues rather than the superficial muscles. I developed tendon strength. The tendons are the cord-like media between the bones and the muscles. A large bicep is no more criterion of strength than a swollen abdomen is of digestion. It is the pulling tendon of the biceps that counts. Moreover, so on throughout the whole body. This method was employed. Some men with thin legs are stronger than some with thick legs. Why? Because strength lies in the tendons. They are the powerful fibrous attachments of the muscles to the bones. They are, in short, the master key to the strength which overcomes great resistance. Without tendons, one would possess no control over the body. There would be no rigidity, no steadiness of physical movement. They and their development are the secret of my strength. I am tendon strong. Muscles alone won't hold horses back. Tendons will and do. But they must be cultivated. Oh yes, they must be developed. There is a way of increasing their strength, and that way I claim in all modesty I have perfected. Real, sound, and efficient is my method. Alexander Zass. Seven reasons you need radical hand strength. I made a fundamental observation over the years regarding the bulk of men who work out. They disregard the importance of training with the hands. Keeping this in mind, I thought I'd go through and swiftly list a few reasons you should build your own incredible hand strength. Number one, no longer do you have to get your mom, your girlfriend, or other female relatives to open stubborn jars for you. This should be self-explanatory. Nevertheless, there is a broader argument behind it. We'll explore in more detail later. I added this one for fun. Two, your hands lead the body. From the messages the nervous system sends to your body, it actually thinks your hands are enormous. They contain twice the number of nerve endings compared to other parts of the body. When you exercise and train your hands to be strong, you are, in fact, helping to condition your nerves. This nerve force is a fundamental component of health and strength, and it was definitely a massive factor for the old-time strongmen of yesteryear. 3. The hands help to make more of your physical power usable. You will have the ability to lift heavier weight using your back, legs, and shoulders, too. This applies to more significant muscle groups of the body. Unfortunately, what stops many people in the real world is lack of strength in their hands. If you can generate 500 pounds of force with your legs and back, but your hands can only accommodate 300 pounds, then you inefficiently limit yourself in the real world, which is unfortunate, but true. 4. Hands help to stimulate the entire body. Again, we traverse back to the nerves. Most movements we perform in the old-time strongman tradition show us that hand training helps to stimulate the body. If you aspire to increase health, more muscle, more strength, then it's necessary. It's time to kick your body into gear from a nerve and hormonal point of view. The hands have to be trained hard with immense exercises that give the whole body a workout. 5. Many hand exercises aid in building serious muscle. Take a look at two of the top students of the old-time arts, Mike the Machine and Bruce and Pat the Human Vice Poveliatus. Both possess enormous muscular development. Now, do they do other forms of training? They do, absolutely, yes. However, they also perform lots of bending, and this is big bending. When this is implemented well, this bending works several muscles inside and these small muscles you are unable to see. If you wish to build some serious muscle and make sure it's a muscle that's fully functional, make sure to work your hands with strongman training. 6. Your hand strength is able to save lives. It is quite sad to know that there are a lot of people who cannot pull themselves over a wall. This could be out of the way of a flood, an emergency situation that could require a quick exit from an area, or any other life-threatening situation. A large part of the reason is due to great hand strength, and if hands are too weak, then they will subsequently let an individual down. Most modern society activities do not need exceptional hand strength. Nevertheless, that should not stop you possessing what you ought to have. Tremendous hand strength and the natural ability to use those hands in ways that are practical is paramount, and in ways that can literally save people's lives. 7. For self-defense. A vast number of people think the modern world is safer than it actually is. Let's be truthful. There are places around the world, even in America, that are nowhere close to being safe. The stronger you can make your hands, the better chance you have to defend yourself and that of a partner or family member. You need strong hands. By training with the strongman feats in the same way I do, this is one of the best ways for building hand strength. It is a fact, and it's not only a great way of increasing hand strength, but you will also find you can have a lot of fun in the process. At the end of it, you will have the great sense of accomplishment, too. If you're interested in isometrics and the famous strongman of old, check out my title, Super Strength. It contains bucket loads of information and over 20 old strongman isometric exercises, all for free. Chapter 8. How the Diet Influences Your Training. Training promotes muscle growth. But for this training to work well, your body needs a decent and efficient amount of energy and enough of the right type of foods to get the full benefit from your exercise programs. Providing the source of great energy is the role nutrition plays in anabolic functioning. Nutrition can help you to stay lean, mean, and become muscular. In fact, understanding how much and what kinds of food to eat for the best possible result is paramount. By definition, learning the basic nutrients available and determining how much of each one you need is vital to the cause. Great nutrition is also concerned utilizing the right protein, excellent vitamins, vital minerals, and other supplements too. Knowing how not only helps you get larger and stronger, but it also helps keep you healthier. This is because great nutrition supports your immune system and aids long-term health. Additionally, the benefits of good nutrition also include enhancing your recovery time from big workouts, giving you awesome skin, producing excellent functioning of the liver, and allowing other internal organs to thrive well. Now we can understand how important the basic principles of nutrition are. They actually aid the good principles of any training regime. Yes, nutrition is absolutely essential to accentuating and growing a strong, healthy, amazing-looking body, and should be given the same importance as your workouts. Did you know that exercise creates a demand for nutrients? And the kinds of nutrients you provide is a major detrimental factor in producing the kind of results you want, especially long-term. The main purpose of nutrition in bodybuilding is to help you gain muscle and also lose fat. Many popular diets are concerned with losing overall body weight, but many of them result in losing way too much muscle tissue, as well as stored body fat. Some individuals half-starve themselves in an attempt to achieve maximum muscularity, but this won't work. Please don't do this. Your body cannot thrive if it is starved. Let's go over some of the basics now. The all-important basics. The four basic nutrients known as macronutrients are protein. Protein is composed of different types of amino acids, and they provide the building blocks for muscle tissue. Protein makes up a component for all organs, and it's also importantly involved in structures of the skin, the bones, the tendons, additionally, being involved in many bodily functions because all enzymes are proteins. Carbohydrates. Carbohydrates give us much-needed fuel for energy. Carbohydrates are composed of a large variety of less complex or more complex sugar and starch molecules. Fats or oils. Fats or oils are the nutrients that hold the most densely packed energy stores. Water. Water is also a vital nutrient. It actually constitutes a whopping 72% of muscle in the body. The purpose of a great diet in bodybuilding is to help you gain muscle and also lose fat. Many fad diets are concerned with losing overall body weight, but many of them result in losing a substantial amount of muscle tissue along with stored body fat. Some individuals half-starve themselves in an attempt to achieve maximum muscular builds. Don't do this. It's unnecessary and very, very dangerous for your health. Diet with regard to body types. Ectomorphs. When it comes to eating for controlling body composition, the first type are ectomorphs, an individual with a lean and delicate build. Ectomorphs have a fast metabolism. They tend to be able to turn food into energy easily and quickly. These types of individuals need to eat high protein and to increase overall caloric intake as well. Needing more calories, they'll often benefit from having excess fat in their diets when compared to the other two body types. Mesomorphs. Mesomorphs are muscular, naturally, and well-built with a high metabolism and very responsive muscle cells. These bodies easily turn food into muscle. They distinctly require high protein for muscle maintenance and development. These types can consume a relatively normal number of calories because they are able to burn off fat effectively. Endomorphs. Endomorphs, slower metabolisms and a greater number of fat cells. Additionally, these types of individuals also have a strong inclination to turn ingested food into body fat that gets stored. They must consume enough protein and they need to keep their calorie intake to a minimum so as not to store more fat. It's important that they make sure that only 20% of calories comes from a fat source. Approximately 20% of endomorphs have a lower than average thyroid output, and this adds to the problem. This type needs to work harder at keeping lean and slim, but they tend to build up their muscle relatively effectively, especially when compared to the ectomorph type. Additionally, they can eventually lose more excess body fat through utilizing a great diet and a well-structured exercise program. Awesome shakes for bodybuilding. Any seasoned fitness veteran will tell you that when it comes to receiving the best calories, nothing is more viable than a high-quality whole food meal. If you aim to get bigger, it is a well-known fact that you need to eat big. However, the full benefits that a protein-packed shake can deliver are second to none. They are full of high-quality protein and packed with nutrients and healthy calories. They are also absorbed by the body quicker than eating a full sit-down meal. When used correctly, one or two of these shakes throughout the day will help you quickly achieve your desired goals. Shake the vanilla and coffee. Forget the coffee shop coffee, which is packed full of sugar. Try this much healthier alternative. Ingredients. 1 1/2 cups of low-fat milk. 2 scoops of vanilla protein powder, 1/2 cup of low-fat ice cream, coffee-flavored. Directions. Add all ingredients to a blender and mix until well combined. Pour and enjoy. Soy almond shake. Plant protein can be used instead of Greek yogurt for a vegan alternative. Ingredients. 1 scoop of whey protein powder, plain or vanilla. 1 cup of light soy milk. 1 tablespoon of sliced almonds. 1 teaspoon of sugar-free maple syrup or honey. 3 drops of vanilla extract. 1 handful of ice cubes. 1 tablespoon of low-fat Greek yogurt. Omit for vegan. Directions. Add all to a blender and mix until well combined. Pour and enjoy. Early bird shake. Boost your breakfast and your immune system with vitamin C. Do this with the brightness of fresh oranges. Ingredients. 3 large oranges for juice, not canned or bottled. Sweetener to taste, optional, use honey. 1 scoop of whey protein powder, plain or vanilla. Directions. Add all to a blender and mix until well combined. Pour and enjoy. Sweet and nutty oatmeal shake. Forget cooking oatmeal. This is one for the road. Great for on the go. Ingredients. 1 cup of dry oatmeal. 2 scoops of whey protein powder, plain or vanilla. 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon. 1/8 cup of sugar-free maple syrup. Honey, optional. 1 tablespoon of chopped almonds. 1 1/2 cup of low-fat milk, or you can use water. Directions. Add all to a blender and mix until well combined. Pour and enjoy. High-protein snacks. Edamame. Packed full of protein and have lots of complex carbs and fat to give you a long-lasting energy boost. Soybeans are also chock-full of folate, vitamin K, magnesium, and iron. Pumpkin seeds. Pumpkin seeds contain 7 grams of protein for each serving, which is a great consideration when you look at their size. They don't contain any sugars and are a great addition to salads, oatmeal, yogurts, or with cottage cheese. Pouched fish. With these, you don't need to drain them or carry a can opener. All you need is your fork, and your snack is ready. The proteins will fill you for much longer when they are mixed with fats or fiber. Try adding some guacamole into the pouch as it contains both. Hard-boiled eggs. Eggs are well known to be rich in BCAAs, which can help to build muscle. It is easy to boil a few in one go and keep them by your side at work. Also, there's no need for the trip to the vending machine. Omega-3 enriched, these are the best sources of goodness for the brain. Delicious soups. Studies repeatedly show when diners consume low-calorie vegetable-based soups before their main meal, they can, on average, consume up to 20% fewer calories per meal. The reason is quite simple. The bulkiness of the soup will help fill us up, so we end up eating considerably less. This is also beneficial nutritionally, because all of the nutrients found in the vegetables also include vitamins, such as vitamin B, C, K, and dietary fiber. Also, a full range of minerals can be found, which helps in regulating the digestive tract. This also ensures we acquire the much-needed vital nutrients we require each day for great health and functioning on a cellular, metabolic level. Eating soups can also have an extra benefit when you look at them from a weight and fluid retention standpoint. Soups that have the main base of leeks, onions, and celery come loaded with the mineral called potassium. Potassium aids in binding excess sodium, or salt, and it helps the body to rid it of excess fluid. A vast number of us carry retained fluid, and on a regular basis we may feel bloated, which is unfortunately thanks to a diet which is high in salt and coupled with a lack of activity. This is especially true if we've followed a Western-inspired diet. While meals can be bulked up with low-calorie vegetable soups, eating them on a regular basis is a fantastic way to load up on nutrition overall, especially for anyone wanting to shed a few kilos speedily. And the replacement of the evening meal with vegetable-based soups is definitely a safe and healthy way of achieving this. The low energy content of soups helps in keeping your overall total of calorie content low. As an aside, the bulk helps prevent you from feeling overly hungry and feeling deprived. This is what happens if you were eating limited amounts like you would have to do on a conventional diet, or alternatively, if you were using one of the many meal replacement shakes which are available. Oven-roasted tomato soup. Ingredients. 10 large tomatoes cut into quarters. 1 tablespoon of virgin olive oil. 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt. 1/4 teaspoon ground black pepper. 1/4 of a cup of balsamic vinegar. 2 cups of vegetable broth, low sodium. 1/2 cup of skimmed milk. 2 tablespoons of honey. 1/4 cup of fresh basil, roughly chopped. Parmesan cheese, grated for sprinkling. Directions. Preheat the oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit and line a baking sheet with foil. Spread the tomatoes in an even single layer. Drizzle with olive oil and balsamic vinegar. Sprinkle with salt and pepper. Roast for about 30 to 35 minutes or until the tomatoes start charring a little on the edges. Once cooked, add the tomatoes to a blender in small batches and then blend until smooth. Add water to the tomatoes if the mixture becomes too thick to blend. Pour the blended tomatoes into a large Dutch oven. On low-medium heat, add the vegetable stock, skimmed milk, and the honey. Mix and then add the blended tomatoes to the pan. Stir while bringing the mixture to a simmer. Cover and simmer for another 10 minutes. Divide into serving bowls and sprinkle basil to garnish. Sprinkle grated Parmesan cheese if desired. Slow-cooked minestrone soup. Ingredients. 6 cups of vegetable broth, low sodium. 1 15-ounce can of crushed tomatoes, low sodium. 1 15-ounce can of diced tomatoes, low sodium. 1 15-ounce can of kidney beans, rinsed and drained. 1 medium onion, diced. 1 cup of celery, diced, small. 1 cup of carrot, diced small. 1 cup of fresh green beans cut into 1/2-inch slices. 6 cloves of garlic, minced. 2 teaspoons of dried oregano. 1 teaspoon of dried basil. 1 teaspoon of dried thyme. 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt. 1/2 cup of whole wheat elbow pasta. 1 small zucchini cut into cubes. 3 cups of kale, washed and roughly chopped. 1/2 cup of Parmesan cheese, grated. And 2 tablespoons of fresh basil, roughly chopped, for garnish. Directions. Add all the ingredients to a slow cooker, except the pasta, zucchini, kale, Parmesan, and fresh basil. Cook for 6 hours on low or 4 hours on high. Once cooked, add the elbow pasta, the zucchini cubes, the kale. Cook for 1 additional hour on high until the pasta is tender. Divide into serving bowls and sprinkle with grated Parmesan. Top with fresh basil. Slow-cooked lentil soup. Ingredients. 1 cup of green lentils, rinsed and drained. 1/2 cup of red onion, chopped small. 5 cups of vegetable broth, low sodium. 1/2 cup of celery, cut small. 1/2 cup carrot, peeled and diced small. 1 small sweet potato, peeled and diced small. 4 cloves of garlic, minced. 1/2 teaspoon of ground cumin. 1/2 of a lemon for zest. 2 teaspoons of lemon juice from 1/2 of a lemon. 2 tablespoons of dried oregano. 2 tablespoons of tomato paste. 3 cups of fresh baby spinach, washed and drained. Directions. Add all the ingredients into a slow cooker apart from the tomato paste and the baby spinach. Cook for 6 hours on low or 4 hours on high. Once the lentils are tender, add the tomato paste and the spinach and stir. Recover and cook for a further 20 minutes on high or until the spinach has wilted. Divide between serving bowls and serve. Cream of broccoli soup. Ingredients. 1 large head of broccoli, broken into florets. 3 cups of vegetable broth, low sodium. 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt. 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper, cracked. 1 cup of canned coconut milk. Directions. Steam broccoli for 10 minutes or until tender. Chop steamed florets, 1/2 cup, and set aside. Add to a blender the first 4 ingredients in the given order. Save the 1/2 cup of chopped florets for later. Blend until you have a creamy consistency. Pour the soup into a medium Dutch oven and add the remaining 1/2 cup of chopped broccoli. Add the coconut milk and heat over a medium heat until it's warmed through. Whole grain croutons can be used for garnish if desired. Protein pancakes, crepes, and inspirations. Inspirational desserts are one of those things you can eat at any time of the day. They really aren't restricted to after dinner either, so you can whip them up and get stuck in for some protein-packed, purposeful munching. Banana fluff pancakes. Ingredients. 2 scoops of protein powder, vanilla flavor. 2 large eggs, free range. 1 large banana, very ripe. 1/8 teaspoon of cinnamon. 1/4 teaspoon of baking powder. 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt. Coconut oil for cooking. Directions. In a medium mixing bowl, add the egg whites and beat until soft peaks form. Around 2 minutes should suffice. In a second mixing bowl, add the remaining ingredients to the egg yolks and beat until smooth. Fold 1/3 of the egg whites into the banana and egg yolk mixture until combined. Repeat bit by bit until all egg whites have been incorporated well. Heat a skillet over medium-high heat. add the coconut oil, and then spoon out about 2 tablespoons of batter. Cook for 45 seconds or until the edges turn brown. Then flip the pancake and cook for about 30 to 45 seconds on the second side. X3 Almond Flour Pancake. Ingredients. 1 1/2 cups of blanched almond flour. 3 large eggs, free range. 1 medium banana, ripe. 1 teaspoon of baking powder. Coconut oil for cooking. Berries and or almond butter for topping, optional. Directions. Add all the ingredients into a blender and blend until a thick, smooth batter forms. Heat a skillet over medium-high heat, add the coconut oil, and then spoon out about 2 tablespoons of batter. Cook for around 2 minutes or until the edges brown, then flip the pancake and cook the second side until browned and cooked right through. Spinach protein waffles. Ingredients. 1 large egg, free range. 1/3 of a cup of Greek yogurt, plain and non-fat. 1 handful of spinach, washed and dried. 1/3 of a cup of rolled oats. 1/2 a packet of powdered sweetener. Coconut oil for cooking. Directions. Add all the ingredients into a blender and blend until a thick, smooth batter forms. Plug in and heat up a waffle iron. Pour all the batter into the heated waffle iron and close. Cook for around 5 minutes or until no longer steaming. The waffle should be lightly golden brown. Peanut butter 3-ingredient pancakes. Ingredients. 1 medium banana, ripe. 2 large eggs, free range. 2 tablespoons of peanut flour. Coconut oil for cooking. 1 tablespoon of peanut flour for the sauce. 1 1/2 tablespoons of almond milk for the sauce. Directions. Add the first 3 ingredients into a blender and blend until a thick, smooth batter forms. Heat a skillet over medium-high heat, add the coconut oil, and then spoon out about 2 tablespoons of batter. Cook for around 2 minutes or until the edges brown, then flip the pancake and cook the second side until brown and cooked right through. Add the peanut flour with the 1 1/2 tablespoons of almond milk and mix to a thick consistency. Pour over the cooked pancakes. That's all of the amazing recipes. I hope you absolutely love them all. They are geared up for their stimulation constituents and also jam-packed full of flavor. Enjoy! If you're interested in more high-protein meals and some more guidance in regard to nutrition, check out my book, Anabolic Kitchen. It has over 140 high-protein, easy-to-make, and delicious meals, and it's absolutely free. If you're reading the ebook, you can click here for your free copy. Chapter 9. Six-Pack Abs and the Science Behind Them. While I have spoken in the previous chapter about the importance of nutrition, it's only natural that the next chapter we speak about abs and ripped six-packs. The phrase, abs are made in the kitchen, actually holds a lot of truth, and we've all heard it, but not everyone believes it. Before you can get that shredded six-pack, you first need to understand how you can achieve it from a scientific viewpoint. First up, let's understand that everyone has some form of a six-pack. Sure, it might be hidden or shaped differently, but the amount of abdominal definition and the quality of it is reliant on a few simple key variables. Body fat levels. This is the overall amount of body fat your body has. For many people, this figure is too high, and you'll never be able to reveal your six-pack unless this is lessened. You can have the world's best, hardest abs, but if your body fat content is too high, you'll never see them, nor will anyone else. Abdominal muscle mass. Once you have become lean enough, you can do additional ab work, and the increased ab muscle mass will lead to an improvement in ab definition and thickness. Genetics and abdominal structure. Some individuals tend to store less body fat around their midriff and might seem to have been handed some excellent ab genetics, giving them a very worthy cover model or six-pack look. But not to worry, even if that doesn't sound like you, my system works for all body types. Stubborn areas and body fat storage. Many people store surplus fat around their stomach area. This, in turn, requires them to diet a little harder and to reduce that stubborn fat around the belly, midriff, or core. For a high number of people, the primary focus should be shedding or stripping back body fat. This is more crucial around the belly. Some have sufficient ab muscles, core, to give them a head-turning six-pack already. All they have to do is become lean enough for it to show. There are many lean athletes and members of the general public who never train their abs, and despite this, we can still see they have great six-pack abs, especially when they are lean enough for it to be noticeable. In this title, we'll learn that our primary concern ought to be an overall fat loss, and more specifically, fat loss in the belly region. Once you become leaner and can start seeing your six-pack, then you can add some ab-specific work to help increase your abdominal density and thickness. Body fat level. How much is required? Men. With a body fat percentage below 14%, men can start showing their six-pack form. Yet under 10%, body fat gives a broader cover model look, allowing for a more defined six-pack while revealing the lower abs also. Women. Women tend to find they store more body fat than men in general. Once they hit the 20% mark, they can likely start to see their ab outline. This can turn out to be further defined and even more obvious around the 16% mark. Many women can get under 14% body fat when they use the best training methods, because fat is stored around organs for protection during childbirth, especially. The universal 10% body fat rule that most individuals and trainers endorse is perfect. You can go for more or less later, depending upon how you feel and what seems right for you. We'll take a look at how we can achieve 10% body fat a little later in the title. Due to how the body stores fat, some men, for example, might be around 12% total body fat with great visible abs, while others might need to get around 8% body fat. Much of this depends on an individual's genetics and where their body might store stubborn fat. For a number of individuals, it's the legs, while others, it's the arms, chest, or abs, belly region. We all store it in definitive places. If the majority of your fat is stored on your stomach and you find you are lean in all other areas, you simply need to diet longer to get a great-looking six-pack. Regrettably, these are genetics and those we are unable to manipulate. With this in mind, we must be aware of what we already have and what we must do to reach our goals. The training and diet schedules will give you some insight on this soon. Ab workouts versus conventional workouts. We have already assumed you want a great six-pack. I am actually going to advocate the stance that you minimize your ab workouts. While this might sound a little back to front and weird, it actually makes total sense when you come to understand that the principal restraining factor is your overall body fat, and not your abdominal muscles overall. As we have seen, you probably already have a great set of abs waiting for you. For this reason, we need to lose our body fat as efficiently and as quickly as possible. To achieve this, we'll have to focus on workout routines which burn body fat as fast as possible. Unfortunately, because the core is a smaller group of muscles, in reality, it isn't very efficient in burning body fat. This is especially true when compared to other exercise forms, such as metabolic resistance training, or MRT, and high-intensity interval training, HIIT. When we shift 80% of our focus, regime, time, into these two styles of exercise, your body can burn fat up to 2 to 3 times faster instead of trying to do it by performing lots of core ab workouts. This increases the speed you are able to reach and also the desired body fat level that is needed to reveal your six-pack. As mentioned, once you start becoming lean and approach the point you are at your desired body fat level, you can now include actual core and ab specific to stay shredded. Heavy resistance training along with MRT and HIIT are far superior because they burn a higher number of calories during the workout while still boosting your metabolism for up to 48 hours even once the session has finished. This, in turn, means you can lose weight quicker and continue burning fat even after you leave the gym. If you enjoy training your abs or you wish to train your core for added health benefits, this is fine. However, just do it 3 times a week as suggested. I'll explain this a little later in the title. And make sure it's not on your rest days. Eating to promote your six-pack. If your primary goal is to reduce your overall body fat level, then your diet will play a substantial role in this too. By targeting your nutrition, you can efficiently burn body fat, which then helps to reveal your abs and give you that fantastic six-pack look, and one you can boost with exercise. When a healthy diet is combined with the above exercise methods, HIIT and resistance training, you will start to notice results really soon. When you have a well-designed health, weight loss, nutrition plan, you will see there are a few essential variables to master. Here's a quick overview. Protein. Protein is crucial when losing fat. Research shows it can help double weight loss while still protecting the hard-earned muscle you already have. Total calories. Total calorie intake or energy balance is also imperative. Initially, you must consume fewer calories than your body requires. This helps force it to burn your stored body fat. As a general rule, for quick weight loss, I suggest you target around 11 to 12 calories per 1 pound of overall body weight. For an individual weighing 200 pounds, this equates to 2,200 to 2,400 calories per day. This is just a small amount of information pertaining to six-packs, but I have a complete guide and formula in my title, The Six-Pack Formula. It's completely free, so check it out. If you're reading the e-version of this book, you can click here to get your free version. Chapter 10. Amazing Herbs for Bodybuilding. Herbs are used and added to food to improve flavor. Today, around a third of all Americans partake in using herbal supplements in a way to help improve their overall health. In fact, between 1994 and 1998, total sales of herbal supplements almost tripled and increased from $1.6 billion to $4 billion. For quite a while, herbs were thought of as obsolete forms of medicine. They became pushed to the side in favor of drugs that were chemically produced and unnatural. A vast number of people don't even know that half of the drugs which are in use today are man-made alternatives to natural, plant-derived substances. A good example being aspirin, which is little more than a chemical replicated salicin, an ingredient which comes from the bark of white willow trees. Many drugs are now ineffective due to overuse and the constant alteration of pathogens with regard to the overuse of these drugs. The public is also becoming aware of the all-too-real side effects of many of these OTC or over-the-counter and prescribed medicines. Antacids being one of the most extensively used, these over-the-counter drugs are available despite the fact that they can cause stomach irritation, which in turn leads to individuals encountering worse indigestion, a vicious cycle. Actually, medicines are no longer really concerned with averting complications or supporting a person's optimum health. The entire drug industry is built around making money. All you need to do is turn on the television and watch the advertisements for drugs as they flash onto the screen. It's as if they are just another candy bar. These days, there is little difference, unfortunately. Unfortunately, and on a global level, we have come to accept illness as unavoidable, and many people are more than happy to take an aspirin each day instead of doing what is required for the prevention of a disease or ailment in the first place. Herbs take a back seat and are very often not pursued, which is mostly because they are not as profitable, especially when compared to well-known drugs. This boils down to the fact that herbs reside in nature and they can't be patented. It is much better to take an herb and improve health to avoid illness rather than take a man-made drug with side effects when you are sick. As a warning for your safety, and before I venture further into the use of herbs, the content here doesn't have the intention of being the be-all and end-all of self-diagnosis. As with any medication, the same warning goes when taking herbs. You should always seek the assistance of a professional healthcare provider. This is to make sure that these herbs won't interfere with your current medication or anything else that's added to your current lifestyle. Because I am not a medical practitioner, this is being written as an information source for anyone who is interested in finding out more of the benefits that herbs can bring and how they can be incorporated into a healthy lifestyle for regular people or for athletic improvement. What are herbs? The term herb is defined as either of